In today's news headlines, Tuesday's primary election results from Alabama, Maine, and Texas are in. And former Attorney General Jeff Sessions has lost a bid to regain his Senate seat. The Alabama politician faced off against a candidate that President Donald Trump had thrown his weight behind as punishment for Sessions' recusal from the Russia probe during his tenure at the Justice Department. Still, in losing to former football coach Tommy Tuberville, Sessions remained loyal to Trump's politics, saying, quote, "It's time for this Republican Party to listen to the Donald Trump agenda." Tuberville, who has no political experience and will face off against Senate Democrat Doug Jones in November, declared victory, saying this.
"In Doug Jones's Alabama, you take your marching orders from Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, and the bartender AOC, and all the liberal left."
That's Tommy Tuberville on Tuesday night after winning the GOP Senate primary in Alabama. Trump reveled in Tuberville's win on Twitter. In other election results, Trump's former physician Ronnie Jackson won a Texas GOP primary for a House seat and will face off against Democrat Gus Trujillo in November. And in Maine, Democrat Sarah Gideon emerged victorious in a Democratic primary against two others. Gideon will challenge Maine's Republican Senator Susan Collins. In a White House speech on Tuesday that went over an hour long and appeared to be a campaign-style address, Trump railed against his rival, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. He claimed Biden had been co-opted by the, quote, radical left and would be, quote, soft on China. He also said there is a, quote, silent majority that remains loyal to Trump. Poll after poll shows the president losing to Biden, at least for now. In a new poll of six swing states, 55% of voters chose Biden over Trump. A large part of Trump's dip in popularity is his response to the coronavirus pandemic, as infections across the nation have risen so alarmingly that several state leaders are now mandating masks in places like Alabama and Texas. Walmart, one of the nation's largest retailers, made headlines this week saying it would be requiring all its customers wear masks in its stores. Oklahoma's Republican Governor Kevin Stitt has become the first governor to test positive for COVID-19. In spite of that, Stitt insisted on not mandating masks across his state. Instead, his only advice was, quote, "If you aren't feeling well, we want you to get tested." A new study found that the residents of Arizona were the most resistant of all states to mask wearing. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said in an editorial that now it officially recommends all Americans wear masks. And CDC Director Robert Redfield said in an interview on ABC that, quote, "If we can get everybody to wear a mask right now, I really do think over the next 4 to 6, 8 weeks, we can bring this epidemic under control." The CDC, once an agency with a sterling international reputation, has been deeply politicized under Trump. And that trend continued this week as the president shockingly ordered all hospitals submitting coronavirus data to the CDC instead begin sending it to the White House. The New York Times explained that the move has alarmed health experts who fear the data will be politicized or withheld from the public. Meanwhile, Trump's trade representative, Peter Navarro, wrote a scathing op-ed in USA Today aimed at the nation's most trusted source for COVID information, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The inflammatory piece was headlined, "Anthony Fauci has been wrong about everything I have interacted with him on." It went on to say, "When you ask me whether I listen to his advice, my answer is only with skepticism and caution." Now, the White House is claiming it did not know about Navarro's op-ed and had not cleared it. Meanwhile, under Trump's oversight, COVID-19 infections in states around the country are exploding, with Florida now being considered the world's worst-hit hotspot as it surpasses 300,000 confirmed cases. The Wall Street Journal reported that 46 states had a 7-day average of new cases higher than their average during the past 2 weeks. The situation is so dire that it has sparked expressions of sympathy from Canada. A Toronto-based doctor told the Washington Post, "We look at what's happening to our neighbor in the South, and all of us are just feeling really bad about it." One glimmer of hope has been in the results of a vaccine trial by the biotech company Moderna. The New England Journal of Medicine on Tuesday published the results of the latest trial of a COVID-19 vaccine called mRNA-1273. One health journal reported that a dose of the vaccine, followed by a second dose 4 weeks later, quote, produced a dramatic immune response. Dr. Fauci praised the results, saying there were no serious adverse events. Still, Ken Frazier, the CEO of another biotech company, Merck, that is also working on a vaccine, warned that, quote, I think when people tell the public that there's going to be a vaccine by the end of 2020, for example, I think they do a grave disservice to the public. Mary Trump, the president's niece, in an interview about her new book, has a strong message for her uncle. In an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos, Ms. Trump said this.
He already seemed very strained by the pressures. You know, he'd never been in a situation before where he wasn't entirely protected from criticism or accountability or things like that. And he said, they won't get me. And so far, looks like he's right.
And if you're in the Oval Office today, what would you say to him?
Resign.
Meanwhile, Trump, in two interviews this week, played to the notion of white victimhood. When asked about police violence targeting Black Americans, Trump responded by bringing up that police kill more white people. In truth, when adjusted for population, police kill more Blacks by far, which means African Americans are disproportionately more likely to be targeted. But it is possible that Trump may not understand such mathematical analysis. In ongoing protests against police brutality, 87 people in Louisville, Kentucky, who peacefully sat outside the lawn of State Attorney General Daniel Cameron, have now been charged with felonies. The protesters were demanding that Cameron charge the police officers that killed Breonna Taylor. Instead of charging those who killed a human being, the city of Louisville has arrested and charged peaceful protesters who could now face up to 5 years in prison. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, the family of George Floyd has now sued the city over his killing at the hands of police. The news comes as a judge ordered body camera footage of Floyd's last moments to be released. And a new story of police brutality from Phoenix, Arizona, confirms the ongoing pattern of unjustified police violence. Newly released video shows a young woman being pulled over by an officer during a traffic stop and then being inexplicably brutalized. According to The Guardian, he tackled and slammed her to the ground, injuring her head, face, hands, and legs. Later, another officer is caught on tape saying to his colleagues that they better, quote, cover your ass. And finally, after a massive outcry and lawsuits, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE agency, has reversed its recently announced policy of refusing entry to or deporting international students in the U.S. if their schools switch to online-only instruction. Schools like Harvard and MIT had filed lawsuits calling the ICE rule change arbitrary and capricious. And that does it for our news headlines today.